CQ, the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. Your net control tonight is NY4G, or November Yankee 4 Golf. My name is Ariel. My location is Traveler's Rest. In the interest and promotion of amateur radio, this net is called nightly at 9 p.m., 365 days a year. And in the event of an emergency, this net will be activated. Located on top of Caesar's Head Mound, about 2 miles south of the North Carolina and South Carolina line near Highway 276. An elevation of 3,500 feet. Is owned and operated by the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society, and all amateurs licensed to operate on the frequency are invited to check in. If there is any formal traffic for the net, please call NY4G. Are there any announcements or bulletins for the net? Please call NY4G. This is a directed net, but before we begin the roll call, I will first acknowledge the folks who have checked into the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society pre-net check-in list. And these are the following. Foxtrot, Charlie Mike, that's Fred and Traveler's Rest. India Echo India, that's Isla and Traveler's Rest. Kilo 4 X-ray Mike Romeo, that's Mel and Prosperity. Whiskey 2 Alpha Mike Delta, that's Andy in Simpsonville. Kilo Oscar 4 Zulu Echo Whiskey, that's Ben in Simpsonville. Alpha Alpha 4 Golf Hotel, that's Gus in Washington, D.C. November 4 Juliet Romeo Bravo, that's James in Greer. Kilo Golf 4 Papa Foxtrot India, that's Don in Piedmont. Kilo Golf 4 Quebec Lima Golf Quebec, that's Linda in Piedmont. And Kilo Quebec 4 November Hotel Bravo, that's Danny in Greenville. Kilo India 4 Lima Juliet Golf, that's Robert in River Falls. November 4 Alpha Sierra Whiskey, that's Tony in Asheville. Kilo Quebec 4 Juliet Sierra Kilo, that's Kim in Asheville. Kilo November 4 Romeo Juliet November, that's John in Brown Summit. November Charlie 9 Victor, that's Leon in Hendersonville. And finally, Kilo India 4 Delta X-ray Juliet, that's Wendy in Hendersonville. That concludes the folks that checked in to the Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society pre-net check-in. I will now stop to check to see if there are any Echolink stations wanting to check in. This is a directed net. We will now begin the roll call. All stations with or without traffic are invited to check in. And as you check in, please give your call, your name, location, and signal your intent to remain on the net for the RAGCHU portion. Tonight being Tuesday night, we'll begin with India through Lima. India through Lima, please call NY4G.
G. Kilo 4, Juliet, Foxtrot, Oscar. And I am James. I'm up on this mountain in Tuxedo, North Carolina. And it's where I'll be negative and negative. Send 73s for each one of you.
I hope you and your family are doing well this evening. Please check in. Whiskey 4, India Oscar Echo. See it in Fletcher, North Carolina. Ariel, I hope you and your family have a great evening. Good evening to everyone. No traffic, no comment.
Lima Zulu India, JR4LZR, and Table Rock, no traffic, no round table, but I'll be monitoring.
Y4G, acknowledging the next three check-ins, Kilo 4, Juliet Foxtrot Oscar, that's James in Tuxedo, North Carolina, and Whiskey 4, India Oscar Echo, that's Sid in Fletcher, North Carolina, and Kilo India 4, Lima Zulu India, that's Andy in Table Rock. Thanks for checking in, stopping by tonight. Anyone else, India through Lima, please call NY4G. Now the India through Lima group, let's go to the Mike through Papa group. Please call NY4G.
G? Would you please check in? Kilo 4, November, Oscar, November, Lorena, and my husband, Kilo Kilo 4, Delta Mike Whiskey, Rick, and our daughter, Kilo Mike 4, Mike Oscar in Quebec, Michelle, and we're all in Piedmont, are being negative and negative.
Net control, NY4G. Lorraine, I believe your phonetics are in the wrong order because you always check in with KK4ONO, which I have always lugged. So I think you meant Kilo Kilo 4 Oscar November Oscar instead of November Oscar November. Anyway, and I've got you and your husband, Kilo Kilo 4 Delta Mike Whiskey, that's Rick, and Kilo Mike 4 Mike Oscar Quebec Michelle. Thanks for checking in tonight. Anyone else from the Mike Group Paw Group, please call NY4G.
NY4G. This is W4 Norway, Texas, Quebec. Eddie Simpsonville, I'll be in a roll call. Over.
Control NY4G, also acknowledging Whiskey 4 Norway Tango Quebec. That's Annie in Simpsonville. Thanks for checking and stopping by tonight. Anyone else? Mike through Papa, please call NY4G.
4G. Ken Scott, November 2, Oscar Golf in Greenville. Negative, and I'll chew the rag with you a little bit at the end.
NY4G, acknowledging Scott. That's November 2, Oscar Golf. And I've got you down for the rag chew. Be calling on you later, Scott. Thanks for stopping by and also volunteering to chat with me for a little bit. Anybody else? Mike through Papa Group, please call NY4G. To the Quebec through Tango Group, Quebec through Tango, please call NY4G.
Good evening, Ariel. Please check in N0TR, located in Greer. Good evening to you and all on the net. I'll be negative and negative, sir.
NY4G. Please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Lima, Golf. KO4QO, Jesus, Chris, and Liberty. And I'll be negative and negative. Over, Tom.
Hello, Chris.
Check in Alpha Alpha 1 Romeo Delta Bob over here in Piedmont. I'll be negative and negative tonight, Ariel.
Check in November 4 Romeo Lima Foxtrot N4RLF. This is Roger in Seneca, and I'll be negative and negative.
Acknowledging next four check-ins. First one is a familiar voice. That's Tom. That's November 0 Tango Romeo. He's in Greer. And another familiar voice, Kilo Oscar 4 Quebec Lima Golf, that's Chris and Liberty. Alpha Alpha 1 Romeo Delta, that's Bob in Piedmont. And November 4 Romeo Lima Foxtrot, that's Roger in Seneca. Thanks for checking and stopping by tonight. Anyone else in the Quebec through Tango group, please call NY4G. Uniform through Zulu. Uniform through Zulu. Next alphabet grouping. Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net check-ins. Please call NY4G.
G. Thank you for calling the net. And hello to everyone else. Please check in November 4 Zulu Lima Kilo. N4ZLK. My name is Shane and I'm in Greenville. No traffic, no table.
Check in Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That's K4XB. My name is Tommy. I'm located in southern Greenville County. I'll be negative and negative. Good evening, Junior 1 on net.
Control NY4G, also acknowledging November 4, Zulu Lima Kilo. That's Shane in Greenville. And Kilo 4 X-ray Bravo. That's Tommy in southern Greenville County. Thanks for the check-ins. Alpha through Zulu. Uniform through Zulu. Let's see if there's any more uniform through Zulu in remaining in the within shouting distance. Please check in to the Blue Ridge to be an uniform through Zulu. Please call NY4G. To the top of the alphabet, Alpha through Delta, please call NY4G.
NY4G. Good evening, Ariel. Thanks for calling the net tonight. Please check in Whiskey 4 Delta Juliet Whiskey, W4DJW, Dave and Greer, negative and negative.
G. Everybody on the net, please check in Kilo Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee Quebec, KB2BYQ. Dave and Easley, I'll be negative and negative tonight, 73 CU, and everybody on the net.
Please check in, KI4DOS, Gary. Also K3JOY, that's my pretty little bride joy. We're at home in Easley, no traffic, no queue tonight. Good evening to you, Ariel, and all on the net.
Control NY4G, November Yankee 4 Golf, acknowledging Whiskey 4 Delta Juliet Whiskey, that's Dave and Greer. And Kilo Bravo 2, Bravo Yankee Quebec, that's Dave and Easley. And Kilo India 4, Delta Oscar Sierra, that's Gary. Jack 4 DOS, that's Gary. And checking in with him is K3JOY. Kilo 3, Juliet Oscar Yankee, that's Joy. They're both in Easley. Thanks for checking in tonight. Anyone else? Alpha through Delta, please call NY4G. Up to the Echo through Hotel group. Echo through Hotel, please call NY4G.
Call on the net, please check in Kilo Oscar 4, Hotel Kilo X-ray, KO4HKX. That's Patrick. I'm up here in Penrose. I have no comment, no traffic tonight here. Thanks for calling the net, sir.
NY4G. Please check in Kilo Charlie 4, Echo Zulu November, KC4EZN Harry in Kettler, North Carolina. I'll be negative, negative tonight, Ariel. It's good to hear you.
NY4G also acknowledging a couple of regulars. That's Kilo Oscar 4 Hotel Kilo X-ray. That's Patrick in Penrose. And Kilo Charlie 4 Echo Zulu November. That's Harry in Candler, North Carolina. Anyone Echo through Hotel, please call NY4G. So open it up to the big group, Alpha through Zulu, A through Z. Wanting to check into the Blue Ridge Tube Internet tonight, please call NY4G.
Please check in Kilo Quebec 4 Alpha Kilo Echo. That's KQ4 AKE Wayne in Simpsonville. Negative and negative.
Acknowledging Kilo Quebec 4 Alpha Kilo Echo. That's Wayne in Simpsonville. Thanks for checking in, stopping by tonight, Wayne. Anybody else? Alpha through Zulu. Anyone anywhere wanting to check in Blue Ridge to Meternet, please call NY4G.
X-ray Bravo, Boyd, Simpsonville. I'll be negative and negative.
Well, acknowledging Kilo Oscar 4, Papa X-ray Bravo, that's Boyd in Simpsonville. Thanks for checking in tonight, Boyd. Anyone else? Alpha through Zulu. Anyone anywhere, please call NY4G. 4G now securing the final portion of the net with our thanks for check-ins. All stations wishing to secure may do so. We will now begin the RAG2 portion, and I have one person on the RAG2 list, and that's November 2 Oscar Golf. That's Scott. Scott, you still out there? It is NY4G.
November 2 Oscar Golf. Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about a possible issue I'm having with my keys. I was getting some RF back into the shack. My key almost got, I think it's all metal. It got, there's a chance that it got magnetized and it started, and the key kind of closed the gap and started sending bits and bobs on itself. Does that sound like anything you've ever experienced?
That's a new one on me. I've had some RF feedback through my key, and it zapped me, and it was, you know, the tingling you feel when RF, like RF is getting through metal and touching your fingertips, and it kind of stings. But it's never really fed back, in my case, to send its bits and dahs. So that's the first one on me. Maybe describe some more what happened there. Definitely RF getting back into your shack.
And it was just really intermittent, but it seemed to like I'd have to unplug the key to get it to stop. I'd plug it back in. Sometimes it would start again, sometimes it wouldn't. So it seems like there was some sort of radio influence on that key. And it's all metal. It's gapped very, very small. So maybe that was it. It's just, and it's a very expensive key. It's one of my portable ones. And maybe it's that issue. Just using an inferior key out in the field. It was just sticking by itself. But there's definitely RF coming back into the shaft.
Well, that's interesting. You said that the gaps were really tight. If the air gap is really tight, then the ionization potential needed to short the key is going to be smaller. The one thing I learned through teaching physics in high school, so it's actually basically just having the key send random characters as it's arcing through the contacts, I guess. It's not going through the key, or it's just going through the key.
And it just goes, because you can unplug, you know, the only way I could get it is I was going out over the air is pull the plug on the darn thing and get it to stop that way.
That's a nice example for me to teach my students about arcing. I guess what happens is there's an ionization potential for air. It's how a spark plug works. You arc across a little gap, and there's a certain threshold voltage that's needed to ionize the air between the gap. And then when the air becomes ionized, it becomes a conductor, and then so it arcs across it, and you see a spark jumping the gap. That's what lightning is, too, except the voltages are so high that it can arc through a large air gap, like from a cloud to a ground. Anyway, very interesting. I guess I don't know if I shed any more light than that you needed. If you would, let me know if that's of any help. N2OG, NY4G.
Thing is, tonight I was using the same key with my Morris Arino, and it was flawless. So what I'm going to do is hook that thing back up. Maybe not. I could do it in a similar situation, but I've had feedback through when I'm out doing my PROTA activation, so I should be able to recreate that and see if it's the key coming back or RF coming back and making that thing short out. And I'm also going to expand the gap a little bit and see how that works. So that'll point me in a different direction or help me figure out what the issue is that I can try to solve.
One thing you can do also is to, on your feed line, loop it through an FT240 ferrite ring, which is something you typically would use for making a transformer for an NFET half wave. They say either a 43 mix or a 31 mix is okay. And you'd wind 7 turns on one side, crossover, wind 7 turns on the other side, and it becomes an effective RF choke. There's some, if you want to go into the net, there's a G3TXQ that published a whole bunch of effective RF chokes for the HF band with different ferrite mixes and different winding configurations, if you're interested. But getting your feed line through a choke arrangement like that should eliminate the RF that's feeding back through the skin or through the shield of your coax. N2OG, NY4G.
by 4G and 2OG. So what was that mix again? T, I didn't catch it. It wasn't 30. I have a 31 here for sure, but which one did I should try?
31 ought to be better. That's what literature seems to say than 43. So if you have a 31 ferrite core and it's large enough so you can feed your feed line through, then wind 7 turns on one side, cross over, wind 7 turns on the other side, or even 6 and 6. They should work.
Okay, I think mine's big enough. That's what it's for. Probably give that a shot as well. So, I made a couple Oda contacts on, one was on 10 meters to Arizona. Loud and clear. And I did another one, where it was, but it was not nearby, and that was just over the weekend.
You're making a foray into Morse, that's getting you contact. How are you finding DXing or just communicating in Morse as opposed to sideband?
I was in the Florida CUSO party over the weekend. I relied heavily on spots, but I had more DW contacts than phone contacts. And, I'm enjoying it a lot. I continue to work on it, and it's a long journey. You know, they don't call it a journey for nothing. It takes some time to master Morse code.
Roger that, absolutely. And the more you do it, the better you get. And maybe we can sign you up for a CW operator on field day. How about that? N2OG and Y4G.
That's my goal. I tried it last year a little bit, just kind of wasn't able to pick up the speed and hear them. You know, when there was just so much traffic, and I was having a hard time picking out who was calling me and so on. But when I was getting this over the weekend, it was much easier. Of course, I'm using maybe a little narrower filter on my radio, and I was able to, and it wasn't as busy. So, you know, Florida CUSO party is a lot different than field day in terms of people involved in it. So it was a little bit easier over the weekend. But, I'm gonna keep giving it a try. If I'm available, I'm gonna try to break away for the Memorial Day weekend to do that WPXCW deal up at the superstation up there in Fort Mill, and just try to, you know, immerse myself in it as much as I can, and, you know, at least try to learn to pick up call signs at about 30 or 40. Man, those guys are ripping down there in Florida. Over.
The more you practice it, the better you'll get. And I guess the goal is to somewhat get into the 100 rate per hour on a consistent basis, and then you're sort of... That's a pretty good rate, a respectable rate for CW contesting.
That's way, way, way into my future. Long way down the journey for me, but hey, it's fun. So it's worth the effort. And you know, CW gets you, most of these contests gives you double the points as of a phone contact. So you know, it's helpful that way as well. Or and I enjoy it. And you know, to me, it's, since it is more efficient, I can make more contacts with CW because I'm not fighting with, 1,500-watt stations all the time. It's a little bit easier to be low power and still make the CW contact, right? Over.
Roger, roger. That's the case, and I can echo that, too. Let's see. In my experience, it's just a skill that is perishable, and if you don't use it enough, and I'm sort of losing it because I don't use it enough or so late, so I have to get back into practice. When is that? That's May 26th, Memorial Day, right? And 2OG and Y4G.
That's the case here. It's just Memorial Day weekend, whatever that is. They're going to allow us to come up there and work that station. Of course, you know, they've got a listening antenna, too. So, you know, that's a whole other game changer in terms of being able to hear the signal. It's kind of, you know, when you have that, they said that listening antenna is maybe, yeah, it's May 25th and 26th up there at Fort Mill.
I'll see what I can do just for my humble station, just to get practice, that is.
Yeah, I mean, even if I don't get up there, I'll work a little bit of it here as well. But, you know, I lost my best antenna. We had to take down one of our trees that was holding up the other end of my antenna. It was up 80 feet. And I had a version of a G5RV up there, and that thing is now gone. I have nothing really, but I have one end-fed wire in the air here. And over the weekend, I went up to, I operated out of very near the repeater we're talking on up there at Caesar says. There's a friend of mine has a little bitty plot of land up there, and I was able, and I'd already put up an antenna, and I was up there, and I got two contacts with Easter Island, that the expedition from up there, and I think I much better than down here anyway.
When you can make rare contacts like that. N2OG and Y4G.
NY4G and 2OG. Let me ask you this. Now, if you had the choice of since I lost, I have no station here, basically. I can't put up a tower or anything like this. So my wife says I can move and have a remote station. So if you had a choice between something like out there in down there where Gary has his station, or where Matt has his station over there in Piedmont or Anderson, I could probably put a tower up there. I got a lot more land that I can use up there, so I could have an antenna farm basically out there, or up where I was at 3,000 feet right there at Caesar's Head, at 3,000 feet elevation. I could probably get, it's an acre of land, and I could probably get a tower if I needed to, some other antennas as well. Which would you pick over?
Let's see. You have to mention my choices again as to one's at 3,500 feet, 1 acre, and the other is where again? N2OG and Y4G.
State, down there between Anderson and Williamston, down there in that area. It's about 20 minutes south of town here, and I don't know what we're here like. I think we're around 1,000 feet or 500 to 1,000 feet elevation here. Do you think that much elevation difference is substantial when you're talking about putting up a, you know, big tower and stuff like that?
If you listen to John Langdon give his talk the other day, it's a little bit more complicated, because you can have, if you have, depending on what type of tower you're going to put up, let's say you're going to put up like a 40-meter to 6-meter beam, and you have to sort of figure out what the terrain around you is like, whether it's downsloping where you can get some ground gain coming back to your and depending on the direction of the slope, it might be a desirable downslope where you, let's say Europe, for example, on a northeast downslope. So you have to look at both the elevation and the terrain, surrounding terrain, as to which is favorable, and go out a few miles. And there's a tool. John Langdon mentioned it on his talk, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. It basically plots out in every direction out of your property what the highest piece of land is that might interfere with your signal, depending on what kind of signal it is. And that might help you make a decision. You may want to ask John Langdon what the name of that software is. I can't remember it off the top of my head. N2OG and Y4G.
2OG. Was that part of an antenna? Whether it was a program where you're modeling your antenna like EasyNet, or was it something completely different?
Oh, it's something completely different. It's looking at your terrain to see what how high the elevations are of hills or obstructions that are near you to see if anything might be obstructing your RF signal. Like, for example, where I live now, I had a northeast downslope, which was really favorable for my beam. But then my vertical is blind because most of the current, the high currents near the base of the vertical. And so I have a hill that's blocking part of my signal on a vertical, but not blocking the beam, because the beam can go up and over the slope, N2OG and Y4G.
I follow you on that. I'll just say, yeah, I'll have to get with him on that. I also tried up there. I had an off-center-fed dipole up at about, I don't know, 40 feet. I put that up several weeks ago in preparation. I also took up a Wolf River coil and had it mounted on the ground. Now, my idea with that was that the Wolf River coil was going to shoot my signal a little bit higher up and then maybe come down on Florida a little stronger, as opposed to an off-center fed dipole at 40 feet that was going to have a lower takeoff angle. I thought maybe my little vertical would have a higher takeoff angle and maybe hit Florida a little bit better, but I didn't find that to be the case.
Yeah, you'll have to also determine the orientation of your dipole east to west, which end firing versus cross firing, to see where it's pointed, because the dipole would fire along, not towards the end. The strongest lobes are away from the ends as far as radiated signal.
Probably a little more east and west for that dipole. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to consider, and, I probably are going to have to just get with Langdon and see about that program, because, it could be important. I don't think there's really that much, any of these pieces of property down here in the valley, they don't have anything really blocking them. It's, one of them, and the horizon, you can see it probably 10 miles away, so I would consider that pretty flat. And then up at the mountain, that location, the only thing that's any higher is some one little peak about, maybe 100 yards or 100, it's probably 200 feet above me, and it's about a quarter mile away. So it's not, I don't even think that's really much of an issue, so I don't know if we'd find much from that program, other than you got a straight shot, but you're just thinking about 15 or 2,000 feet elevation difference. I don't know. When you're talking about the hitting the F layer and fire off and bouncing the signals off that really make a hill of beans towards your propagation, I would think. Thank you.
Zulu OG NY4G. Your choices remind me of Gary Dixon. And Gary Dixon is one of the biggest DXers in the East Coast, and he has a station up on the Blue Ridge, up in Virginia, near the Blue Ridge Parkway. That seems like an ideal site where he is, and that's where he's got most of his contacts. Gary Dixon is the one that's sort of the one organizing the award for worked all zones. He's the one that collects all the QSOs for worked all zones awards. Anyway, you might look him up on QRZ and see what his station looked like. He may have moved away from that station, but that's where he got most of his contacts from, is from the ridge of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia, N2OG and Y4G.
OG, yeah. There's something to be said for that. I'm trying to see if I can pull up this guy. I got the Easter Island station. They're not necessarily... they're not anywhere near where I could pick them up right now. But, I talked to them on 12 meters like they were next door from up there. And then I got them on 10 meters the next night. It was a little bit difficult, but elevation might have quite a bit to do with it. I know, I mean, certainly when you're talking about... being in a ditch as opposed to up on a mountain, that's what you want. So that might be my answer right there, over.
Because just looking at the terrain plot around where that location might be eye-opening. You'll see that you have takeoffs to everywhere. That's a clear shot with no obstructions.
Pretty sure that would be the case up there. And even down on the flatland here, I think it's all rock up there, so you know I guess there's a lot of, you know, when people say it rains and your dirt gets some moisture, you get better bounce from the ground, so you know I wouldn't have that up there as opposed to, you know, good rich soil down, well, good rich clay down in the valley. So I don't know if that is a consideration.
More of a vertical, in my opinion, but that's just an opinion. You are going to get some ground gain, some additional ground gain, even from a yagi, if your soil conductivity is a little bit higher. But I'm not sure it's going to be that much higher to be noticeable. But it depends on just how much rock there is up there too. So. Maybe there's a reference you can look up to see what kind of rock, how rocky it is up there. But if you have some dirt, even if it's high on the hill, if it's got a lot of dirt there, then it might be okay.
Well, you know what I'm going to probably end up doing is doing a lot of operating from both locations and see which one I like the best. It's probably the best way to go. I should have just... mentioned that at the beginning, but I thought I'd get some of your thoughts on that, and then maybe if anybody else has some thoughts on their experience on operating up at Blue Ridge versus down here in the upstate.
N2OG, NY4G, and you mentioning that just came to mind. If you have some whisper beacons you can set up, and set it up so that they're identical configurations and see what kind of contacts you get out of one beacon versus another. I've set that up just to compare antennas, but you can set it up just for that, and you basically leave it alone for, if you have a large battery, you can get a lot of data over a week's time for or something like that. So it's going to be running identical atmospheric conditions, and they're all both radiating at the same time. That's excellent data comparison.
Now you're talking, and I think this one radio I have, has a way to do that. I know I can set up. I can figure that out easy enough. So yeah, when I get a little bit closer to making the decision, I need to set up a couple. I can set up the same antenna. It doesn't even have to be anything super duper. Probably I can set up two little vertical antennas that are the same. Set them up and let them go and see what happens. Over.
Also, if you have a need for it, I can lend you my, I have a couple of whisper beacons that I can lend to you if you want to run that test. And they're only transmitting 200 milliwatts, but a whisper has got so much range, it doesn't really matter that it's very little power as long as they're identical power.
Yep, for sure. That'll be what I need. Okay, well, I appreciate the RAG 2, and I'll see you at the next meeting. I guess that's coming up here in 10 days or so, and here we get going. Gotta get ready for field day, or?
Scott, thanks for the RAG 2. Appreciate the interchange there. That's helpful both to me and to you, hopefully. I'm going to pause now for looking for check-ins. Blue Ridge Commuter Net, Alpha through Zulu, looking for check-ins. Before I close the net, please call NY4G.
Well, thanks for the late check-in. Please check in Kilo Echo 6, Kilo Echo November. That's KE6KEN. That's Ken in Greenville. Hope you're having a good evening.
November Yankee for Golf Net Control for Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society 2-meter net. Acknowledging Kilo Echo 6, Kilo Echo November. Kilo Echo 6, Kilo Echo November. That's Ken in Greenville. Thanks for the check-in. Anyone else? Before I close net, Alpha through Zulu, please call NY4G.
NY4G. I've enjoyed the QSO that you had with the other station, and please check in Kilo 4, Juliet, Bravo, Quebec. This is Larry. Also, my wife Donna, Kilo, Charlie, 4, Mike, Foxtrot, Kilo. We make our home in Greer. Mark us in and out if you would, please. I hope everyone has a good night. 7-3.
NY4G also acknowledging Kilo 4, Juliet Bravo Quebec, that's Larry, and Kilo Charlie 4, Mike Foxtrot. They're checking in from Greer. Anyone else? Alpha through Zulu looking for check-ins. Call November Yankee 4 Golf. November Yankee 4 Golf. Tomorrow is KI4BOS, and he'll be the Wednesday night net controller. I'm sure he would appreciate your patronage tomorrow, so he might call in Blue Ridge Community Net tomorrow to check into his net. So this is November Yankee 4 Golf, now securing the Blue Ridge Community Net with our thanks for the check-ins. We will now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s, good night, and stand by for my net report.
Ariel, if you're there, on frequency, accept the late check-in, KA4PQA, Stephen and Greenwood, Echo Link.
KJ4PQA, I'm going to add you to the check-in list. Now I'm going to amend the check-in list, and thank you for the check-in. Anyone else on Echo Link or anywhere else, please call NY4G.
What's your amended total, Ariel?
21.
KK4JPQ.
4JPQ, KI4LZI.
ZI, KK4JPQ.
Thought I would let you know about something. I don't know if this is going to end up permanent or what, but that Sky1 repeater frequency pair might change. I'm not sure of it, but they announced on that Sky1 net tonight that it could possibly change to another frequency pair instead of what it is now.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. You'll have to remind me what the original frequency was. I'm a little turned around.
145.470, tone 91.5, that's the current, but it's not definite yet, but they're talking about doing it. And on that net tonight, they were giving another frequency pair out that they're, when they get back up there, they're going to do some experimenting on, and depending on how it turns out, they may go to it permanently.
Am I right? That's Billy's repeater?
That's right. That's the K90H.
Well, that's good to know. I was not listening there tonight. It's good to know that might change. I'll make myself aware of that. So what's their usual night for their Skywarn net? Is it Tuesday?
KI4LZIVD. It's usually Tuesday and Thursday for just a normal net. You know, unless something has to be activated, but for just a normal net, it's Tuesday and Thursday. I know about the problems they've had up here over here and recently, too, about someone's mic getting locked up. But that's what they announced on that Skywarn net tonight, and I know at times you checked in on it, and I thought I'd let you know in case it changes. Don't be surprised.
Well, that seems to be a very serious problem with a locked-up mic. Can't help but be suspicious about something that lasts that long, that completely brings the repeater to its knees. Anyway, not anything I can do anything about. That's real curious. Otherwise, how are you doing there, Andy?
Well, that locked-up mic was just the latest thing that happened. They've had noise issues on that frequency pair since 2011, 2012, somewhere along there. I just happened to be, when that repeater first went on air, I just happened to have some info on it, being that I'm right here under the mountain and heard others talking about it, and I kind of remember the first makeshift repeater he first put up. It was two Motorola transceivers that was set up as a repeater up there, the very first one he put up there. So I've kind of kept up with it since the first, pretty much the first day since it's been up there.
Went back away. I guess you have kept up with it. So that's on Caesar's head. Am I right? Did Billy once have a repeater on Paris Mountain? KK4JBQ.
KI4LZI. Well, that 47 just a little bit further up the hill from this. It's on a lot shorter tire. It's on a tire that a trucking company has up there. Yeah, at one time he had one over there, but he didn't keep that long. Instead of staying on that frequency pair, on, I don't know all the ins and outs about that, you know. I wouldn't prove you all the details, but he didn't keep that long, and ultimately he went to Caesar's head and put this up where it's at now. But over all the years, this locked-up mic issue wasn't nothing. He's had other issues with interference getting into it, so it's the locked-up what my issue was, just the more recent thing.
Hey, well, that's quite a saga. Yeah, indeed. So like I said, what can you tell me about your two rigs that are they working any better, either one of them working any better for you?
Which one? The 8900? I've got to send it to somebody. I got more information about them today. I got to send it to some place down in Georgia. The one that's got Cook diode in it, and this 2400H I got here, it's about the same, you know. Dead memory battery, don't remember anything, and from one time to next, it always reverts back to 140 megahertz, then I have to slowly dial it in up here to the 2 meter band, and being that it doesn't remember anything, I don't even fool with repeaters that's got to have a tone in it, because once I program all this stuff in, the tones wise, I'll have somebody do it for me. Over time, sometimes I forget, so this 2400 is just barely enough to get me to wind do 2 meter simplex, and what few repeaters like this and still around, special for clothes, I can do it with this, but that's about all the 2 meter and I can do here, and as far as the UHF goes, like I was telling Chad earlier tonight over on the Pickens County Emergency Communications net over here on our link system over here, that's all I got for UHF right now, is just an H.
Yes, both of them going down at the same time. That's bad juju, as they say. I think, fortunately, if it is what you think it is in either of them, it's not a terribly serious problem. I mean, not as serious as it could be. Replacing a diode in one and a memory battery in another. It's too bad there aren't some hams in an area this big that can do little things like that, you know. That's not terribly serious. But it would take, you know, in fairness to you, it would take someone with some experience, with no fear, to open the case. I don't think either one of these problems is very deep, unless there's something related that we're not aware of. They seem like easy fixes, the way you tell the story. But they're both serious enough to keep you from operating. Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's good to talk with you, Andy. We've had a pretty nice day today. I hope you had a good day. We had a little animal problem here. One of the animals indoors here had, well, the vet thought it was asthma. I never heard of an animal having asthma, but it's a constriction of the airway. It's not an object in there, but just the tissues swell. And it makes breathing difficult. Now, that was kind of scary. Donna was pretty broken up about it. But the vet thought a steroid shot was just what she needed. And we'll see. That was the major thing that happened here today. Not awful, considering some of the other things that are happening around us. Anyway. Always good to talk with you, Andy. KK4JBQ.
KI4LZ, what really irks me about the situation with these radios I got here is my antenna connection and these mobile transceivers I got, it's not fully what they should be, or BNC connectors. They make very few HTs today with BNC connectors, and as a result, a lot of the ones I got that's got BNC connectors, HTs, need work done to them. Well, when it comes to the, I got one here, 440 with a BNC, but these other HTs I got, one was a Motorola. I told you I got it for my last meeting for free there, from the group there. Well, the T90A, I told you about it a long time ago, but you know it's an SMA. Well, I got a TYT here that I tried to use, even though he couldn't hardly hear me. Here on the UHF machine here, it's not an SMA connector per se, but it's not a BNC, so I'm not sure what kind of connector it is, but out of most of what I got, especially for 2 meters right now, I don't have one HT here that's in good working order that's got a BNC connector on it. And as a result, I can't hook it up on the outside antenna. That's the one thing that really irks me bigger than anything, you know. You go way back, they used BNC connectors all the time on portables. Well, it was a portable scanner receiver, amateur HTs, and like we're right here, I can easily hook up to the outside antenna like that, but the way these others are, there's no way I can do it right now, period.